Isn't it amazing that though the very conditions exist in the world today that the Bible declares would exist at the time of Christ's second coming, yet men fail to admit this, and in general just close their eyes to the facts. Now in doing so, they set aside God's witness to the truth, and His word becomes irrelevant to them, even though it speaks with a clarity that can't be denied. Why is this, we ask? There is an answer to this question, dear listener, and one which I wish to bring before you in these few moments with the book today. As I do so, it is with a sincere prayer that should you not realize the nearness of Christ's return, and should you be blinded to the scriptures that spell out clearly the character of the days in which we live, I trust that you are going to be awakened by the Spirit of God to realize your condition, and in your need, turn to God for His salvation. Now, man does not accept the truth of God's word, first, because he has a heart that is at enmity against Him. Now, it's the result of the sin that is in him, for we all are conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. It's inherent in every child of Adam. And you know, man doesn't want to do with God. In fact, the Bible states that he has a nature that is opposed to God. It is enmity against God. And so naturally, he's opposed. He prides himself on his own wisdom. He decides what he wants to believe. And he says that he's liberal and broad-minded, but in every realm except that which has to do with God. And he just plainly shuts him out of his mind. Now, this is the fulfillment of man's condition, which God knows very well. In the book of Isaiah, we read it's true of all men. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Now that is what God knows to be true of each one of us. It's your condition. If you have not faced it, do so because of sin in which you have been born. The Bible says, too, there is none that seeketh after God. And thus we see that man's natural heart is set against God. Now, this has been true right from the beginning of man's history. We see it in Cain, who went out from the presence of the Lord to build a city without God. And he had his civilization, and that has come down to this present time, that is, in the spirit of it. Though his civilization ended in judgment, as we know that it became more and more corrupt, and God could not look upon it any longer. And he said, the end of all flesh has come before me. Man's heart was only evil continually. The world was filled with corruption and violence, and God destroyed it with a flood in Noah's day. Now, God will not again destroy the world by a flood, but he will bring judgment upon it, righteous judgment, because of its ungodliness, because of its corruption and its violence, which is being more manifestly declared today with each passing moment. And the day of that judgment, beloved friend, is drawing to the very moment when it will fall upon this scene. It's fast approaching. This is clearly seen. Now, I'm not speaking as an alarmist. I'm just speaking as any child of God would speak who views the present conditions in the world today in the light of God's holy word. Now, this word that we have and what we're turning to is true, and it is infallible, but alas, it is that which man, in his unregenerate state, has set his heart against. And that is the first reason why man doesn't see the truth of things today, because he doesn't want to. His will is opposed to God. I would ask that you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2 for another reason why man does not see things today as they are. We read in 1 Corinthians 2:14, The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the natural man is a term used in Scripture to designate all men born into the world. And this man has, as all of us are naturally born this way, we have nothing but the sinful heart of enmity against God and the capacity not to be able to know God, a nature that has been ruined because of sin. It's been warped in its judgment, and it's one that's lost, and only for the grace of God would remain eternally lost. But you know, though man has no vital relationship to God, there is that which God provides through faith in Christ that would give him the wisdom that he needs. But the natural man does not have this wisdom. Now, he prides himself in what he does have, and he is seeking to do many wonderful things and accomplishing great feats today, and he is aspiring to be really more like God. He's trying to shut God out of his life completely. And you know, the wisdom that he has is not from God. James speaks of it. It's the wisdom that is from beneath. It's the wisdom that is sensual, the wisdom that is devilish. And how true this is. How aptly this describes man's wisdom and his folly away from God. Now let me just simply ask, has man's wisdom produced the solution to man's problems? Another question, has man's wisdom brought peace to individuals and to nations? Has it stopped wars? Has it obliterated the strife and the riots and the inflation? Has it? You know the answer. It has not. 1,000 times, no. And we know it cannot. Because the answer to man's problems is not in the heart of man. Now, why is this, we ask? The answer is very simply. It's because that man in his wisdom leaves God out. And when man leaves God out and rejects God's Christ, he doesn't have wisdom. Because Christ himself is, as we read in 1 Corinthians, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Oh, how foolish it is that men reject Christ. But you know, God has made the foolishness of this world to be manifested. And he would have you see, and he would have all men see, the folly of trusting to one's own heart, one's own wisdom. You know, he would teach us, everyone, that the man who is naturally before God in his sin can't produce anything good. No, absolutely none. He would have us turn to him to receive the wisdom that will enable us to discern his mind and have understanding of the times. Now, he wants you to have this. He's long-suffering too. He's not willing that any should perish. This wisdom that is from beneath is leading men to destruction, to ruin. But he does have a way. He does have wisdom. He would have you receive this wisdom which is from above. I wonder if you desire to know this wisdom, to have this wisdom. I trust so. I trust the reason that you've turned in on your radio is to hear the words of God, that you realize the crucial day in which we're living, the seriousness of the times and the need of your own soul. Because if that's so, I can tell you that there is a wisdom that will give you an understanding that nothing else can give. It's a wisdom that is more valuable than all the gold in the world. And you know, the preacher in Proverbs tells us that it's far beyond the worth of rubies. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. Oh, how well it would be if men would just stop to think in the terms of these words. That you would allow God to direct your thoughts and your heart to him. Now, God does have the answer for you. He does have the solution for the problems. He does have wisdom. He does have discernment. He has it all for you. And he has set it forth in his word. And I desire, in the few moments left to me, to point out to you from the words of the Lord Jesus how you can obtain this wisdom. Turn with me to the third chapter of John, if you will. And the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to a very religious man there, and he brings out this fact that for a man to be blessed, to see or to enter the kingdom of God, that is, to understand the kingdom of God, or to enter it, he must be born again. This is the essential for all men for blessing. Ye must be born again. Now, natural birth produces only its kind. The Lord Jesus says, for instance, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Now, that's in the sixth verse. In other words, when a man is born into the world, he's born of sinful parents. He has a nature that can't do anything but sin. It can't please God. The Bible tells us that he that is in the flesh cannot please God. You know, you can take flesh, you can educate it, and it'll be still educated flesh. Or you can give it a course of religion, and it'll still be religious flesh. You can reform it, but it'll still be simply reformed flesh, and it can't please God. Man must be born anew. He must be born from above. Man needs a new nature. He needs a divine nature. He needs a new life. He needs new power. All has been ruined by sin that is simply natural. Keep that in mind. It's most important. This is the truth of God. And thus the Lord Jesus speaks here with authority, and you will not doubt him. And he wants us to hear what he has to say. And what he told to Nicodemus, he tells to us. He says, verily, verily. Mark how he approaches the subject. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see or cannot understand the kingdom of God. And we had back in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man understandeth not the things that are spiritual, you see. He doesn't have the capacity for it. But God has the capacity for him in new birth. Of course, Nicodemus inquires what I trust everyone who listens today will inquire. How can a man be born when he is old? Do you desire to know? You see, his curiosity is aroused, and not only his curiosity, but his deep interest of soul is seen, as we know that Nicodemus did turn to the Lord. He was born again, and he comes out in the full light of testimony when Christ was crucified. Yes, he associates himself with Joseph of Arimathea, and he takes that precious body down from the cross and lays it in Joseph's tomb. Yes, he witnesses to the fact that he was indeed born again. The Lord Jesus says, I tell thee, and say verily, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now we want to notice the means or the agents used in new birth. They're specifically stated for us here. Now Nicodemus knew what the Bible teaches, that water was a symbol of the Word of God. Back in the Old Testament, this is seen very clearly, and he knew it. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was well acquainted with the Old Testament scriptures. And we know that the Bible speaks in symbols, using them very fittingly and aptly. And water is a picture of the Word of God, which cleanses, which revives, which refreshes. There's life there, you see. Of course, in Ephesians chapter 5, we have the direct answer to what this symbol is. When we read that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the Word. Mark that. Ephesians 5, the Word is likened to water. Water is a symbol of the Word of God. And so the Lord has this in mind here. And Nicodemus was well aware of it. It is not baptism. No, baptism is an outward ordinance. In fact, Christian baptism was not even instituted at the time that the Lord was speaking to Nicodemus. Water baptism cannot put away one single sin. It is simply a badge of a disciple as he puts on in baptism the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and professedly takes his place amongst the ranks of the disciples. No, water is not baptism here. It is the Word of God. And you notice, coupled with the Word of God is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is the one who has been sent into the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if you have ever had any thoughts of your sinful condition and have been turned to God, it's been the result of the work of the Spirit of God. And after you've been convicted by the Spirit, then the Spirit of God brings to you His Word, the Word of God, for you to lay hold upon. And when one receives the ministry of the Word into his soul, when he hears and believes the Word of God, it is then that he is born again. And the Lord Jesus then uses an illustration from the Old Testament to show very clearly how this is accomplished. The Israelites were bitten by the serpents. They were dying. They called to Moses. Moses looked to God. God said, "Make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole." And everyone that looked lived. And Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Beloved friend, looking to Jesus in simple faith, receiving him as your substitute who died for you at Calvary, will give you the life that you need, will give you the new nature that you'll be able to understand, will give you the power, the Spirit of God, that will enable your eyes to see the things and the times in which we live. And through this means of the Spirit of God, you will be able to know the things that are freely given to you of God. God grant that today you might heed His Word. We would warn you not to give heed to it. Will mean that the Lord will come, perhaps today. And if so, and you're not saved, you're not born again, you'll be left behind for His righteous judgments. He does not desire this. Oh, beware, be warned, and be wise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now, and be saved.